Good morning. Listen, it feels so good to have everyone here this morning together. It feels good to be one body, one church as we come together to worship. I'm actually really excited as we enter into this season here at FBC. I know it's different. I know it's not what many of you are used to. I know it's probably not the best time for some of you guys. I get all that, but trust me when I say that God's going to use this time right here to grow us as a body, as we build each other up. He's going to use it to grow us closer to Him. And listen, if you're upset about us coming together, if you don't desire being one with your brothers and your sisters, then I just challenge you, go back, read some of the things that we've been walking through as a church together. Read some of Paul's letters, because this right here, this is what we've been called to. And guys, it excites me. It excites me because I love you guys, and it's just always felt as like two separate churches. And it broke my heart as your pastor, because it's just not the purpose of what we've been called to as one body. This is it. This is what God has called us to. This is how we build each other up. This is how we accomplish what we see laid out in Scripture as one body. Unified, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And so that's the beautiful picture of a church, is when we can look out and see different faces and all the things that separate us, but yet we're here united together because of one common thing, Jesus. And I'm just excited that God's given us this opportunity. And I promise, I really think some of you guys, if you allow the Spirit to move, you're going to see a void filled in your life that you didn't even realize you were missing, if you just embrace it. And so I'm just excited. I'm humbled in the privilege that I have to pastor you. I'm thankful that God's called me to you and my family to you. And I just can't wait to see how God continues to work through FBC. And listen, just a couple of things before we go into our mission verse. This morning we started two new Sunday school classes. Don't let it just stop here. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Don't just come to church and then, you know, don't get plugged in the rest of the week. Like, find some ways to get plugged into the church. There's plenty of opportunities through the week and through the month. We have Sunday school classes. We have two for adults right now. One is going deeper into our sermon the week before. Ken's teaching that. And the other is Josh Mumaw. He's in the back there. He's going through 1 Peter. So we're digging into Scripture together. We have home groups where if you want to get connected and build community, which you should want that, find a home group. We have not groups, which allow us to disciple each other in a greater way. And then we even have groups for men, groups for women, groups for young adults. Our youth are meeting tonight. If you're a youth age, high school age, middle school age, we're meeting tonight. By the way, I'm teaching that. Where's Natalie at? Natalie. Oh, she's not in here. Oh, well, I could say it. Oh, there she is. I'm saying it word for word, right? I don't paraphrase. She said, "I am the coolest person she's ever met in her entire life." Right, Natalie? And you can't see her, but she's shaking her head yes. And so if you're a youth, you should definitely come, right? Yeah, you can't see in the back. So see, youth, that's confirmation. Natalie says you should come to youth tonight because I'm the coolest person ever, right? I won't wear my bow tie. Oh, well, yeah, well, that's not hard, Justin. That's not a big accomplishment. I'm just kidding. All right, before we jump back into 1 Thessalonians, let's recite our mission verse together. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. I hope you've been putting this command on your heart. I hope you understand and you really grasp what this command is all about, that this is where our purpose is found. This is where our fulfillment is found as individuals, as a church. And this is how we're to live a life worthy of the gospel. It's to care about Jesus' glory by advancing His kingdom through the church. And so that's what we want to be. That's what we want to do. We want to be a church without walls, a church that lives out this command to deliver, disciple, deploy. And so hopefully you're ready. I'll get us started. You finish this up. All right. Go therefore
and make disciples of all nations.
That gives you cold chills. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this family. Lord, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the blood of your Son that unites us, your great love and mercy and grace that you've demonstrated for us. And Lord, thank you for your word as we get ready to go to that. And Lord, we just pray that it's your words that are proclaimed here this morning as we're going to talk about, and that the name of Jesus is what is magnified here this morning. And Lord, we pray the gospel, it's accurately communicated, and that if there's anyone here, Lord, that has never given their life to you, Lord, we pray today would be that day. And so, Lord, be with us, fill us, and help us to pay attention to your word intently this morning. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open them up with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as you turn there, I'll give you a quick recap of where we've been so far. This is our fourth sermon in our series through these two letters. And so far, we've learned who these Thessalonians were. They were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been reborn. They were believers. They heard the gospel message from Paul and from his companions. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they repented from their idolatry, from their pagan upbringing. And it says that they turned to Jesus. They were a people and now a church that had been impacted by the gospel. And as we continue through chapter 1, we saw that through the gospel impact, or that gospel impact, they had become a contagious church. They had become contagious to those around them. Their desire, it was to proclaim the gospel. And in their lives, it made the gospel visible. And it was impacting other people. Paul says that they went from being imitators to being the ones that others would imitate. Everywhere that Paul traveled, he said that the people there in those places, they had heard about the gospel because these Thessalonians, they had made the gospel known to them. They were contagious. And then last week, we started chapter 2, where Paul wrote about his own example in coming to Thessalonica, where he brings the gospel to them. And of course, because these Thessalonians were imitators of Paul, this is the way they also acted with others. And as we explored that, we saw just how important it was to be an authentic church, how we're to be bold for the gospel and honest about the gospel, how we're to be honest in the message that we proclaim, honest about our motives, honest about our methods. And then we saw this really challenging example of Paul's vulnerability with these Thessalonians. We saw that vulnerability with others, it's that vulnerability that leads to authenticity. And that's the reason why they were an authentic church. They were willing to do those things for the people that God placed around them. And so this week, we're going to continue on into chapter 2, and we're going to talk a little bit about being a transformed church. Listen, I need you to listen to me because I'm not talking about being supernaturally transformed at salvation. I'm not talking about what the Holy Spirit does in us when we come to faith in Jesus. I'm talking about what Jesus wants to continue to do in you as a believer. About the sanctifying work that he promises us. The beauty of the gospel, it's that you don't need to know everything there is to know about Jesus when you're saved. Of course, you're not going to know everything you need to know about Jesus when you're saved. You just need to repent and believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. But after you're saved, the Spirit, he gives you this desire to want to know this one that's given you so much. To want to imitate him, as we've already talked about. And the means by which we do that, the tool that God gives us, it's Scripture. I mean, it's his spoken word. And listen, the main idea this morning as we walk through this text is that God's word, it transforms the lives of those who welcome it. God's word transforms the lives of those who welcome it. I heard Ken say in his sermon not too long ago, you get out what you put in, right? I'm paraphrasing there. Not like I did with Natalie, but if you want to grow, if you want to mature as a Christian, you got to go to the source by which that can happen. If you seek that this desired growth in all these other places, you're not going to receive the desired result. If the extent of your spiritual discipline, if it's to come to church, listen to a sermon, not take notes, not have your Bibles open, not listening to the Word intently, if you don't go home and study the Word for yourself, you're not going to grow in the way that Jesus intends for you. You're just not. Listen, if I want to lose weight or if I want to get into shape, I can't eat McDonald's every day. It just doesn't work like that. I can't take garbage in constantly and not replenish my body with healthy things. And it's the same idea for us as Christians. It's recognizing the means by which we grow and recognizing exactly what it is and the privilege we've been given and having this right here. This is our means. You know, most of us here, we have a pretty high view of Scripture. We want our church to be founded on the Scriptures, which that's great. But it's of little value to us if we don't enthusiastically embrace the Scriptures' authority in our own lives. Guys, as we dig into this passage, we're going to see these Thessalonians begin to grow and be transformed. And the reason for all of that, it's because they welcomed God's Word. They saw it for what it really was, and they allowed the Word to shape their lives. And so if you're there with me this morning, let's stand together as we read, starting in verse 13. We're just going to read through verse 16. It says this: "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of man or men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, and displease God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last." Thank you. You can be seated. Listen, as we dig into these verses together this morning, there's a couple of things that I really want you to think about as we walk through this. Number one, have you heard God? That's the first question I want you to think about. Have you heard God? Number two, have you responded to God? And then finally, number three, have you been transformed by God? And so with that, let's look at this first question. Have you heard God? Back at verse 13 with me again, Paul again says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." And so Paul, his companions, they come, they preach the gospel. It says these Thessalonians, they heard what they said to him, what they preached to him, and they accepted it. But not as their words, not Paul's words or some human's words, but instead they recognized and they accepted it as the word of God. Listen, there's a couple of things that Paul emphasizes here. First, he says that he's thankful that these Thessalonians, they heard God's word. The emphasis here, it's really on the hearing piece. Meaning, Paul and his companions, they were preaching it to them. These Thessalonians, they didn't have a Bible like we do. Printing was a lot different at that time. Of course, the New Testament wasn't entirely formed at that time. And so, what they knew about Jesus, it came from hearing Paul. It came from his preaching. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Why do we spend so much time each Sunday morning devoted to the preaching of God's Word? I mean, why is this such an instrumental piece of growth as Christians? You can go to just about any church across any denomination, and this is going to be the thing that is most emphasized, or at least it should. If it's not, then you should probably run as far as you can away from that church. But why? Why is that always the case? Well, J.I. Packer, he said that preaching is the event of God bringing to an audience a Bible-based, Christ-related, life-impacting message of instruction from himself through the words of a spokesperson. Some Packer, he didn't say that a preacher brings you a word about God. You understand? I don't bring you a word about God every Sunday morning. He said that God brings a message through a preacher. That's exactly what we see laid out here in our verses with Paul and his companions. We have to understand that every time a church gathers under God's word, the people, the congregation, they're gathered there to experience a word meditated encounter between their souls and the living God. That's the purpose. God himself, he's using the preacher as his instrument, as his tool, so that he can speak into each life that's represented in that room. That's why it's impossible for us to have too high of a view of preaching. And Paul's saying here that these Thessalonians, they grasped this idea. They understood that when he preached the gospel, he didn't invent it, but instead he received it. It was a message received to him by God, and it was a message being preached through him. And Paul was thanking God that they understood this, that these weren't his words, but that they understood that it was God's words. Listen, it's always awesome when you see someone in a church service that gets it for the very first time and they realize, wow, it's not Pastor Stephen's words, but it's God's. Stephen was talking about an issue that I dealt with this week. He was talking about an issue that really spoke to my heart and my issues. Any of you guys ever felt like that? Like, I'm just like staring bullets down. First off, I'm usually looking at the walls, typically. But I'll have somebody stop me and they say, wow, like you wouldn't stop looking at me. Like this is something that I really struggled with this week. Guys, that's God. I am simply a man. A man with flaws, a man with failures, a man that messes up all the time. I don't know what's in your heart. I'm not God. It's impossible for me to know that. I don't always know the issues that you're walking through. Only God can do those things. And when you grasp that, you begin to understand what it is we've been called to, why we do things like sit under the instruction of God's word and why we dig into it on our own, why it is we gather together like this, because God uses these events to grow us and speak to us. In preaching, it's meant for us to hear the voice of God. It's a means for God to speak to us as a church and as individuals. It's why, again, we place so much emphasis on this aspect of a service. Because we want God to speak to us. That's why I carry such a huge burden every week. Why I've built this team of expositors that we've heard from this summer. Because it's the purpose of me going back to school. Because I want to stay true to this responsibility that's been entrusted to me. So that we can all continue to hear God. And so what's this mean for us? Well, understanding exactly what God's given us through the practice of preaching and through the scriptures, the Bible that's in your hands, understanding that it's not just the words of man, but it's the words of God, then first and foremost, we listen to it intently. When it's being preached, we listen intently. We come ready. We come prepared to hear God. We're ready to take notes because if God is speaking, then it's got to be important because he's the God of the universe. And so we take notes. Not just to learn, but also to hold me accountable. To make sure the things I'm telling you is truly of God and is truly, it matches what you see in the scriptures. It means you have your Bibles open. It means you actually, first off, you got to bring them to church, right? That's the first step. Take it off your bookshelf, maybe dust it off a little bit, right? And then bring it to church and have it open. I don't know if you noticed, but I stopped putting the verses on the screen because I want you to go to the Bible. Because you know how easy it is? If I could change one word on that as I plug it in, and you wouldn't know. I want you to see a physical copy in your hand. Open it up. Follow along with me. We come with hearts ready, minds rested, right? We tell our kids before a big test that they need to get rest and eat, right? So that they could do what? Be ready. Why wouldn't we do the same thing when we're listening to the Word of God? Because if God's speaking, there has to be a purpose, right? And so that's the first thing. Do you hear God? When you leave this place this morning, when you're all sitting around a table eating lunch, do you ask each other what they've heard from God, how God spoke to them? Listen, you should make that a regular habit. I know Brittany and I, we do it with our kids very regularly. What did you hear today? What did God say? What was I talking about? And we do that because when we come on Sunday mornings, God speaks and we want those we love to hear his voice. And not just on Sunday mornings either. But through Scripture, we've been given the ability to go to God's Word on our own constantly. I mean, do you do that? Do you have a quiet time? Do you understand that through Scripture, he's made himself known to you? That you don't even need to preach or to sit under the instruction of preaching because you also have access to the Bible. I mean, of course, you should, and you should have a desire to sit under the instruction, but you have the same ability to go to God's Word. Do you do it? He reveals himself to us. That's why John refers to Jesus as the Word in John chapter 1. Because through your own study of it, he speaks to you. He reveals himself to you. The Bible, it's living, it's active, and I believe that. God has used it time and time again to speak to my issues, to grow me, to transform me. And guys, if you devote yourself to it, he will speak to you. He will. That's exactly what our not groups are all about here at FBC. It's what we do. We ask each other what the others heard from God through their own study. We devote ourselves to it. That's the source of our growth, right? The scriptures. It's the source of our continued transformation. And so that's what we hold each other accountable to the most in our not groups is what does your Bible reading look like? I'm not saying we're perfect in it, but we hold each other accountable to that. And so do you hear God? Do you hear Him here on Sunday mornings? Do you hear Him through the week as you go to God's Word on your own? The second question, do you respond to God? If you look at the last part of verse 13, Paul says, everything he said, talking about they believed that the Word was of God. He says, the Word which is at work in you believers. He's talking about the Word of God being at work in you believers. And if you underline in your Bibles, underline that word believers. It's a pretty important word. This is actually the first time that Paul calls these Thessalonians here in this letter believers, which it's interesting because obviously everything that we've read so far, it's obvious that these people, they're believers. Everything that Paul said. But the emphasis here, it's on how they responded to God's word when they heard it. And what Paul's saying here is that they believed it. They were believers. They weren't just believers of Jesus. They were believers of God's word, which for the record, those two things, they go hand in hand. You can't believe in Jesus if you don't believe in the word of God. I got into a gospel conversation with somebody not too long ago, like within the last month, and they said, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. You can't. This is what proclaims Jesus. This is what makes Jesus known. And so you can't somehow believe in Jesus, but yet think this is not true. It goes hand in hand. Another translation actually says the word is at work in you who believe. And so the action of this verse, it's in the believing of these Thessalonians. When they heard God's word, when they heard Paul preaching God's word, they believed it. Listen, there's really only two ways a person can respond when God speaks to them. I mean, either they believe in the words communicated to them, or they don't. I mean, it's that simple. But how you respond, it really determines what follows. If you remember back in verse 3, Paul said that the word, or chapter 1, verse 3, the word, this same word they believed in, it was at work in them. He mentioned faith and love and hope and how all those things were evidence that God's word was at work in them. Listen, you're sitting there thinking, okay, Pastor Stephen, get to the point. Of course I believe in God's word. Listen, how you respond to God's word, whether that's to believe or to reject it, something inside of you, it will give evidence to that. I mean, think about some of your own beliefs outside of the church, things that you believe in. If you believe in the platform of a certain political party, then you're typically going to vote in a certain way, right? It impacts you. It causes you to do something about your beliefs, to stand on your beliefs. If you believe homeschool is the only way to educate your children, guess what it's going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to homeschool your kids, right? If you believe Ford's the only company that actually produces a solid vehicle, you're probably only going to buy Ford vehicles and wind up on the side of the road. Sorry if you're a Ford guy or woman out there. Listen, I can go on and on about this, but what you believe in, and it impacts everything else about who you are. It causes you to respond in a favorable way towards those beliefs. But listen, if you don't believe in any of those things, it doesn't impact you at all. You have no mind about it. You could care, or you couldn't care less. I believe that's the right. Most people say I could care less, which is wrong. It's bad grammar, right, Justin? But you couldn't care less if you don't believe in any of those things, right? You're not impacted by it. And so the question, do you respond to God? Or better put, because we all respond to God in some way, how do you respond to God? Do you hear God and then as a result you believe His words? Are you believers of His word, as Paul says about these Thessalonians? And if so, then what's the evidence of that? I mean, has your belief in His word, has it caused you to respond to that belief in a favorable way? Because how you respond, it dictates whether or not you're shaped by that belief. Which leads into the last question. Are you transformed by God? Again, as Paul's already shown us here, in all the verses that we've looked at so far, transformation, it's the result of believing in God's word. And so these Thessalonians, they hear the word of God. They recognized it was his words, and they believed those words. And that belief, it impacted them. It transformed them. Look at verse 14 with me again. Paul says these Thessalonians, they were believers in God's word. And then he says, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displease God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins." And so their belief, the Thessalonians' belief in God's word, it caused some things to happen, right? First, it caused them to become imitators of other churches. And think about that. Now, they weren't an exact mold of these other churches, but what Paul's saying is they were imitators in how they responded to the world around them. They had began to suffer like these other churches. They began to endure all kinds of persecution. The preaching they heard from Paul, it produced a work in the lives of these believers. In other words, the preaching of Paul, it produced fruit in these Thessalonians. And the reason was because they viewed it as God's words and not Paul's words. And then they believed those words. They allowed those words to shape them. And as we've already talked about in this series at one point, this transformation, it impacted two areas of these Thessalonians' lives. It impacted their affections, and it impacted their direction. I mean, just look at their affections now. They're willing to suffer. They're willing to be persecuted and martyred, and not just for the gospel, but ultimately for the people around them. Their willingness to suffer, it was because they began to imitate Paul. They began to imitate his companions and all these other churches, and they began to care more about those around them that didn't know the name of Jesus. Right? We talked a lot about that last week and what Paul was willing to go do for the people that were lost. They began to care most about the broken, most about the hopeless. They began to devote themselves to people around them, all because of the gospel impact in their own lives. Because they believed the words they heard, and they believed that without Jesus, people would actually spend an eternity in a fiery pit. They believed that. And it broke their heart. Their belief in God's word, it changed their affections, what they were now affectionate toward. But it also changed their direction. Look at what Paul says in these last couple of verses. He's talking about the Jews now in this last part of these verses. And his purpose is, it's not to speak poorly of the Jews. Jesus was a Jew, right? But his purpose, it was to give them a vivid picture of what it actually looked like for someone to not believe the words that they heard. Not believing in God's word, it was actually like being a Jew, according to Paul, who constantly heard the truth. They had the prophets, and they had all these words from God. Even God himself, he came to them, and what'd they do? He killed them, or they killed them. They killed all the prophets. They drove him out. God might love these Jews, but their response to his word, it displeased him. That's what Paul says. They try to hinder the church from speaking to others about salvation, but look at this last line Paul says. But wrath has come upon them at last. That was their direction. Wrath. The Jewish people, they had such a great privilege, but yet they rather sit in darkness than to investigate the small ray of light peeking through the crack on the other side. And it's the same for people today who reject the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. Whether we've been raised in godly homes, or whether we attend a church only once a year, or we live in some remote jungle, we're all without excuse if we fail to put our trust and belief in Jesus and his word. All of us. Guys, the light of the gospel, it shines so brightly, but those who refuse to walk in its light, they will face their just judgment. That's our direction without belief in God's word. Not just a belief in Jesus, but belief in God's word. In Paul's words, they might seem a little harsh here, but the reality is truth. It's the outcome for those that don't believe in God's word. The outcome for those that aren't transformed by God's word, they will receive wrath. But unlike the Jews, these Thessalonians, they saw the light of the gospel. They saw that glimmer of hope, and unlike the Jews, they walked toward that light. They welcomed the word into their life, and They allowed that belief in his word to transform them and begin to define them. And for these Thessalonians, this wasn't just some ordinary word. This was the word made flesh. What they couldn't do for themselves, God did for them. Jesus gave his life to save them. And listen, it's the same for us as well. That's the beauty of the gospel. Listen, when we as a church truly place our full confidence in the Word of God, when we believe it with every ounce of our being, we'll become a transformed church because it'll begin to shape us and mold us into the heart of Christ, and everything that Jesus cares about, we'll care about. And you'll look back 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years from now and you will say, wow, look at where Jesus has taken us. All because we began to truly devote ourselves to the Word of God and believe that it is truly His words and that these words are living and active. It's not some book that sits on a shelf. These words have power. And when we believe that, and when we allow it to begin to really take root in our heart, will be changed by it. So listen, as we close this morning, I just want you to think about our main idea. Has your life truly been transformed because you've welcomed every part of God's Word? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? I want to speak to those who call themselves believers first this morning. As you think about that question, what is it that you truly believe in? I mean, how does that belief, how does it transform you? I mean, what does your belief cause you to do? How is your life different because of that belief? So if you truly believe that I'm speaking God's words this morning, and if you believe in what it is that we've just read, what Paul's showing us, then the next response, you should have some kind of newfound desire to want to dig into the Scriptures on your own. You should want to find ways to apply what we've talked about this morning, or any morning for that matter. Your belief in God's Word, it should cause you to respond in a favorable way towards it. Especially if you truly believe it's God's words. Again, you can't believe in something and not be shaped by that belief. You can't. We see it in every aspect of our life. So we're about to take the Lord's Supper together as a church family, and Paul warns us not to take that with an unclean heart. He warns us in 2 Corinthians to get our hearts right. Guys, do you believe that? Is that belief in God's Word, is it going to cause you to respond in the way that it suggests? Which is to repent from your wrongdoings against God. If you believe in God's Word, it says that we all fall short of God's glory, and that if you believe there's no sin in you, then the truth, it doesn't live in you. Do you believe that? Because if you do, then you'll understand that even now we're all sinful. And even now, all of us, we all have things that we need to repent from this morning. All of us. If you believe that. And so does that belief in God's Word, does it shape you? And is it going to shape you here this morning? Is it going to cause you to respond to that belief? I mean, do you believe in our mission verse that we recite every single Sunday morning? Do you believe that it's our mission as followers of Jesus to go into the world and to make disciples? Do you believe that's your mission? How's that mission shaped your week or your plans or your ambitions? As you think about that, this same word, it speaks about the beauty of the gospel. The grace of God's love toward us. Even as we were yet still sinners, do you believe in that grace? That we deserve death because of our rebellion toward Him? That He alone, He gave Himself as a substitute for us through Jesus? Do you believe that? Because your belief in those things, you can't simply be the same person and do all the same things and have all the same desires that you once did and yet still see the grace of God's love for you. You can't. Your belief, just as it did for Paul, just as it did for these Thessalonians, your belief in God's word, it transforms you. It transforms your affections. It transforms your direction. So listen, here's how I want you to respond this morning. If you're here, you're a believer. I just want you to seek the Spirit. Ask Him to convict you of places where you fall short. And repent from those things. It's that simple. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for strength in those areas where you fall short. Maybe it's a relationship where you know that you haven't responded to each other in a healthy way. Maybe it's just ask God for forgiveness and maybe take that person by the hand and ask them for forgiveness. Reconcile it. Maybe it's a sin that you just struggle with. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to give you the strength to overcome that temptation and those things that you struggle with. And ask Him to give you the ability to apply some of the things we're talking about here. To give you this desire to want to dig into His Word and to be transformed by it. I encourage you, pick up one of our reading plans. Start reading. Jump into it. But if you're here this morning and you realize you've never placed your trust and faith in Jesus, then I just want you to repent and believe. I want you to turn from yourself, turn to Jesus. Just have a conversation with Him. He knows your heart. Tell Him that you trust Him. Tell Him that you believe in these words, that they're His and that He's God. Ask for His forgiveness. Ask Him to fill you and to lead you. Listen, you could do that right where you're at this morning. You don't need some special invitation. You could, right in the seat where you're at, you can speak to God. And you can ask Him all those things. But I'll be down front. If you want to come talk with me and let me pray with you, encourage you, I'll be down here for you or any of you if you just need me to pray with you. And so listen, whatever it is, you respond to the Spirit of God as our deacons come and as they prepare the Lord's Supper this morning. And after you've had time to do that, I'll close us in just a moment. So you come.